Hello and welcome back to True Crime Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Michael, and you can bet Andy's here.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere today,
man. Oh, no, not today. Because Andy's been begging me to do OJ since he came on the show.
This is a headline episode right here.
Is it, Andy?
Fucking marquee's coming up right here.
Is it?
Naming big lights, baby.
You finally want to do OJ now that he's dead?
Now that he can't come after me.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to risk seriously. That. Now we're all safe.
That's right. That's
finally.
Right. We're finally safe. If you haven't heard, OJ passed recently here in April 2024.
Yeah, it was actually, I think it was as all good news or as all big news happens, the minute after we were finished recording Headlines and Shenanigans,
yeah.
Like then that was like that morning, OJ Simpson passed, but it's like, God damn it.
Yeah,
we just recorded our headlines.
So I guess we'll talk about this. We'll talk about OJ passing in the next headlines, maybe.
Yeah,
we'll probably forget it by then.
It's like, we'll just mention it, but we got to do a whole episode instead.
Exactly. Last week, totally different episode, Mariko Iguchi. Very, very strange case. Very random.
Mm-hmm.
Random violent crime. Japanese crime.
And
or no, Taiwanese, I'm sorry.
Taiwanese, yes.
Mariko Iguchi was Japanese, but she was visiting Taiwan. And guys, it's not very well covered. There's not a lot of sources out there on it, especially not in English. So definitely check that out. We covered that last week. And before that, we had Headlines and Shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we got new episodes of Strange and Unexplained coming out, as well as on our YouTube channel. So please check us out, True Crime Guys, on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe so you are getting access to those new Strange and Unexplained videos, as well as the shorts that are being posted every single day.
Yeah, I think last week we just did Bob Crane, the star of Hogan's Heroes.
Yes, brutally. I was unfamiliar
with his passing. I was familiar with Hogan's Heroes growing up, and mm-hmm. I'd seen it in the background at my house and stuff, but I was very unaware of how brutally like his murder was and how that was just like something that was kind of just swept under the rug in Hollywood. Like it's just that's big, like not talked about.
No, not at all. And it was obviously a murder. It was not like some of the other celebrity deaths we talked about that could possibly have been suicides, you know, mm-hmm. could have went either way, you could argue. Or accidents,
yeah,
rather, like
accidental.
Natalie Wood.
Yeah.
Like Natalie Wood could have been an accident. It could have been.
Unlikely, but
could have been. But old Bob Crane, not an accident, my friend.
No. Did you accidentally beat yourself to death?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Nothing hidden there.
That doesn't happen. And there's not a lot hidden about our subject today, Andy, to be honest.
Oh, no. There's nothing else.
This man lived his life.
And he was happy to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
if he had done it.
If he wanted to talk about it, yeah. He was happy to talk about it.
Exactly. And if you guys have no idea who O.J. Simpson is, he was a former NFL player and convicted armed robber and kidnapper known for being acquitted of the murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman.
It is so strange to think that you actually have to put, like, he was a, you know, convicted robber. It's like, that's what his criminal record is.
Yeah.
So
And kidnapper,
yes. But it's like, that's what's actually on OJ's criminal record.
That's it.
I know. It's just crazy to think. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what he went to jail for.
Exactly. Exactly. And there is so, so much more. Obviously, we're not going to get to it all in this episode. So let's go ahead and roll the intro, Andy, and see what we can get to.
On part one.
You know, so Ron Goldman comes in the back gate.
Yeah, a guy I really didn't recognize. I may have seen him around, but I really didn't recognize him to be anyone. And in the mood I was in, I started having words with him.
He says to you, "I just came by to return a pair of glasses. Judy left them at the restaurant."
Yeah, words to that effect, yes.
I don't know
if I believe it or didn't believe it. It was pretty much immaterial because, you know, I was more concerned about everything that was going on, you know, and fed up with it, I guess. And
you get into a fight. Nicole comes out.
A verbal fight. Got a little loud, and by that time, Nicole had come out, and we started having words about who is this guy, why is he here, what's going on.
And she says, "This is my house. Get the F out of here."
Yes, and which I didn't like because, once again, this is the same person. And if you read the book, you'll see some things that happened in the 2 weeks leading up to this that were very, very irritating, you know. And I think Charlie had followed this guy in, wanted to make sure it was no problem, and he brought the knife. As things got heated, I just remember Nicole fell and hurt herself. And this guy kind of got into a karate thing. And I said, well, you think you can kick my ass? And I remember I grabbed a knife. I do remember that portion, taking the knife from Charlie. And to be honest, after that, I don't remember. Except I'm standing there and there's all kind of stuff around. And
what kind of stuff?
Blood and stuff around. You know, I hate to say this, but this is not even that. I'm sorry. I know we got to back up again.
Right. It's okay. I want to back up.
This is hard.
Yeah, I know. I want to back up to
try to make people think that I'm.
You wrote in the book, I had never seen so much blood in my life.
Mm. Yes.
Covered. You're covered. The scene. Can you describe it?
It's hard for me to describe it. I'm telling you. I don't think any two people could be. Murdered the way they were without everybody being covered in blood. And of course, I think we've all seen the grisly pictures after. So yeah, I think everything was covered, would have been covered in blood.
And blacking out. Have you ever blacked out before?
Not to my knowledge.
No,
of course. Of course, if something like this would take place in anybody's life, if it were to happen, I would imagine it's something that you would probably automatically have trouble wrapping your mind around it.
All right, here we go, Andy. Let's talk the juice.
Yay, I'm thirsty.
Grab you some. That's there on the table.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But also O.J. Simpson, born Erythral James Simpson on July 9th, 1947 in San Francisco. A name given to him by his aunt after apparently she was a big fan of a French actor of the same name. I never heard of him.
No, I haven't either, but apparently O.J. hated that name. So he was just like, nah, fuck that, O.J.
Yeah, I would too.
Right, yeah.
Orenthal?
It's not a cool name.
I don't know what the French pronunciation is, but Orenthal, man, no.
It sounds like a cream.
That's mean. I'm glad he was so athletic. But he didn't start out with many good lots, okay? Remember, number one? Strike number one, the name.
Yeah, Orenthal.
That poor kid. Strike number two, at only 2 years old, O.J. developed rickets, of all things, resulting in him being pigeon-toed and bow-legged. Okay. Yeah, there's your future running back here, right, pal?
There's nothing wrong with being bow-legged, okay? It's not that abnormal.
No, it's fine, Andy. But to correct his condition, he actually had to wear a special pair of shoes connected by an iron bar for several hours each day until he turned 5 years old.
Real Forrest Gump type situation.
I was about to say, and then he took them off and never looked back.
Just kept running, never stopped running.
But in 1952, Simpson's parents decided to call it quits on their marriage. O.J., along with his brother and two sisters, were raised by his mother in a challenging, predominantly black neighborhood of Potrero Hill in San Francisco. And at just 13 years old, O.J. became a member of the Persian Warriors gang. A decision that ultimately led to O.J. having a temporary stay at the San Francisco Youth Guidance Center, but it was only for like a week or two in 1962.
That's a weird gang name to be up for, like O.J. Simpson to be in the Persian Warriors. That seems like the Persian Warriors would be like predominantly Persians, you think? Like,
you would think.
Or it's like, you guys just like rugs? Or like, what are you guys doing here? Like,
what's your deal?
What's this gang
you
about?
You guys like cats? Yeah, I don't know what this
is. Where'd you guys get your name? Like, I'm just curious. Like, because I'm not judging.
No.
Just saying.
Right. Who knows? Maybe there was just a group of people with Persian roots in an area.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
If there was a certain number of them, you know, that was their gang. And then they also took in O.J.
Yeah, after a while, our numbers are pretty thin. And did you see how fast his 40 was? That guy could steal and get away from everybody.
Seriously. See his agility, that spin move he put on that cop?
Jesus Christ, he broke them ankles.
Seriously. And speaking of dominating athletically, O.J. would, at Galileo High School in the Russian Hill area of the city, where he participated in both football as a running back and defensive back, as well as excelling in track and field.
He was fast in track and field too.
He was pretty damn fast. We'll talk a little bit more about specifics here in just a minute. Now, despite his grades, which weren't very good, Simpson attended City College of San Francisco for his first 2 years of college, and then transferred to the University of Southern California in 1967. This is about unheard of, honestly.
Really? To an extent,
for an athlete to take a break for 2 years, go to community college, and then go to a university, and then end up playing for that university?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Seriously, that is a rarity.
Yeah, because he could not qualify for a good scholarship in high school because he wasn't really trying in high school.
He
had to go to community, or the City College of San Francisco?
Yeah.
And yet, luckily, he was able to go there and fucking dominate. It was basically like he was playing against high schoolers still.
They had a football team?
Yeah. He was still playing in the first 2 years of high school, college.
So I thought this was like a community college.
No, he still got to play. And that's where they were like, oh, you're that good? Yeah, come to UC. Come to University of Southern
California. That makes way more sense. Yeah, I was about to say, for a high school standout, I don't care how good you were, just take 2 years off and do nothing. Yeah. And then walk on in a university? Nah.
No, he had to go to the associate or the community college to an extent and then prove himself. He's like, no, look, I can play. I'm not that smart, but I can play, right?
Right. Now, also around this time, OJ would marry his first wife, Marguerite Whitley, on June 24th, 1967. The couple would go on to have three children together during their marriage, Arnell, Jason, and Aaron. Tragically, however, their youngest daughter, Erin, who was born in 1977, she passed away due to a drowning accident in the family swimming pool. Now, this had to be a rough time.
That was later on. That was towards the end of their marriage. That was in 1977. And Erin was only 2 years old at the time. It was a tragic accident where she wasn't being watched carefully.
Right.
So, yeah, that was kind
of... That's further in the past. I mean, that's further into the future. Mm-hmm. Right, than what we're talking about.
This is when he first goes to college, when he first marries his first wife. They start having kids when he's in college. Like he's starting a family really early on and going into his NFL career.
Exactly. But he doesn't have all these children. Aaron's not even born until 77. So we're gonna go back to 67 when he's still in college.
Yeah.
Okay. So back at USC, OJ quickly established himself as a versatile athlete, performing well in both football and track and field. In his first year at USC, Simpson achieved a sixth-place finish at the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships in the 100-meter dash, clocking in at a time of 9.53 seconds.
Fucking fast.
For 100 meters, that's booking it, dude. In 1967, UCLA's Gary Bevan was awarded the Heisman Memorial Trophy, despite USC's Simpson leading the nation with 1,543 rushing yards and 13 touchdowns. USC had a 10-1 record and won the national title that year, with Simpson coming in second in the Heisman voting.
This is one of the few times they were like, oh, he... This is one of the few times where people were like, oh, you got robbed. Like, it was like, you led the league in everything. And they're like, Barry! It's like,
yeah.
Fuck Barry!
Well, OJ got his credit the next season, when he went on to claim the award himself after leading the league again with 1,709 rushing yards and setting an NCAA single-season record.
Yeah, fuck you. I'll do it.
I'll do it even better.
Better.
Yeah, over 200 yards more. Almost 200 yards more.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
He established new records for carries in a single season, 334, and added 22 rushing touchdowns.
Fucking almost double. I got 13 first year, 22 second year. Fuck you. I'm winning this.
Yeah, he's killing it. When he won, OJ had a then record margin of 1,750 points, second only to the LSU quarterback Joe Burrow's 1,846 point margin in 2019. And he still holds the Heisman record for most first place votes with 855 and was named a unanimous All-American.
Man, people still, like, even to this day, people sometimes forget, like, OJ Simpson, like, was a, like, dominant athlete when he was in his prime.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
People always remember him as, like, the public figure and what he was known for.
Well,
when you
brutally stab two people to death, Andy, it tends to overshadow it a little.
I know, but, like, even in the sports world, when people are talking about some of the greatest of all time, it's like people just kind of overlook O.J. Simpson and his numbers. You're like, oh, we can't acknowledge he was that good, but he was really fucking good. Like, yeah. It's hard to acknowledge.
I mean, people do. Big sports fans, they acknowledge it. They know what's up.
They're getting to a little bit more now, yeah, but it was a long time. People were just like, oh, we can't acknowledge that he was actually a fucking beast out there.
Right. Yeah. So in the following year, O.J. officially joined the NFL as a Buffalo Bill and would stay with the team until 1976. Known by the nickname The Juice, Simpson achieved over 1,000 yards rushing for five consecutive years from 1972 to 76 and led the NFL in this category on four occasions. His remarkable achievement came in 1973 when he became the first NFL player to surpass 2,000 rushing yards in a single season. I didn't know he was first to do that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's... You forget, like, people just kind of overlook a lot of his, like, yeah, monumental things. Like, we had, like, remember when we were, like, in our early 20s, it was like CJ2K. It was like,
yeah.
Chris Johnson got 2,000 yards. He gets his whole nickname. It's like, fucking, you know, OJ back there being like, fuck it, that wasn't even part of my nickname.
Right.
That was just a part of me.
Exactly. After spending one more season with the Bills, he was then traded to the old 49ers. Old Lawrence team.
Ah.
Old San Fran.
There we go, Lawrence.
But his hometown. His hometown. Yeah. That had to feel good, right? Simpson concluded his football career by playing for his hometown team in 1978 and 79. And after all was said and done on O.J. Simpson's undeniably impressive football career, The Juice was honored with inductions into both the College Football Hall of Fame in 1983 and the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1985. Now, they didn't take that away from him, did they? Did they take that
I don't think so. I don't believe so. I think he's still in the Hall of Fame.
Still leave him in there, huh?
I mean, because he technically, he didn't, it's not official.
But you got voted.
I mean, you got voted.
I mean, and you don't get voted on your personal life.
That's very true. So. He's no Walter Payton, all right? He's not getting the Man of the Year award, right?
No.
Hey, Creepers. You know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that that song playing was written about you? Now imagine having the power to gift that same feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that was actually written just for them. Songfinch lets you create an original, radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then, an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. That's what I did, Creepers, and I could not be happier. I had a very special anniversary coming up with me and my girlfriend, so I went on there, I picked my own artist, I wrote the details in for the song, and here, guys, if you want to take just a tease of a listen to what I got for my anniversary, listen right here.
We're both writers and we love stories. That's where I started to merge. And ever since you domesticated me, I know that we've both grown. Now I can't imagine life without you. I love you more than you could know.
So, if that right there sounded like something you might want to give someone you care about for a special holiday, give Songfinch a try. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free. So you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. So go to songfinch.com/creeper and start your song today. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to go to Spotify and add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value for free, Creepers. And again, that URL is songfinch.com/creeper. Don't forget to share your song with us too at songfinch.com/creeper. Get your song today, guys. You will not regret it.
Now, following his retirement from professional football in 1979, Simpson transitioned into a successful career as a sportscaster and actor. Although during his time as an athlete, he was already acting, with a notable role in 1974 film The Klansman, where he portrayed a man wrongly accused of murder by the police. And then Simpson also spent time as a commentator for Monday Night Football.
So he already had he already had previous experience playing this role.
He did. He did. And in 1988, O.J. appeared in the Naked Gun series,
ba-bang!
Starring as a bumbling assistant detective alongside Leslie Nielsen and Priscilla Presley. He also did television commercials for Hertz Rental Car Company, leaping over luggage and putting a spin move on airport workers and shit like that, you know, just to catch a flight.
Those commercials are so cheesy. If you go back and watch some of those O.J. Hertz commercials, see O.J. just running through an airport looking all just like staged, some like 90-year-old like white lady turning around like, you go, O.J. Just, oh, God, this is so cringy.
So cringe, right? All right, so... Let's move on back to the personal life, Andy. Okay, we're gonna put the stardom on hold here. Now, as some of you may know, Simpson was married twice. Did you know this, Andy?
I mean, after the second time, I don't think a third time's happening. So,
no. Yes, he met 18-year-old waitress Nicole Brown in 1977 while still married to his first wife. Nicole had been a waitress at a Beverly Hills nightclub called the Daisy, which OJ was a regular. Now, after several years of dating and living together, they married in February of 1985. Brown took the name Nicole Brown Simpson after their marriage, and they would go on to have two children together, Sydney and Justin.
And now you can say that 1977 is when he meets Nicole. That's the same year that his daughter dies.
Yeah.
So in that year, when he's dealing with all of that grief and all of that trauma, that's when he meets Nicole and basically chooses to, like, put all that behind him and try and start this new life with this woman instead.
Right. It's almost like he don't want to even be reminded of the loss he just had.
It's the same year that he loses his 2-year-old daughter that he decides, I'm going to start seeing this woman now.
Hmm. But unfortunately, their marriage was plagued with issues from the beginning. During conversations with friends and family, Nicole expressed many instances of physical abuse by her husband. Police would even respond to multiple calls to their L.A. home, including one time on New Year's Eve in 1989. After a particularly ugly argument, Nicole reportedly sustained a split lip, bruises, and a black eye, as well as telling police that her husband made threats to kill her.
Yeah, this time in 1989 was like the big, like this is what made like headlines. This was the time that like everyone kind of saw O.J. Simpson in a different light.
Yeah. Now, the ex-football star eventually entered a no-contest plea for spousal battery, resulting in a sentence of 120 hours of community service, a $200 fine, and 2 years of probation. Man, big fucking deal, right? Additionally, he was ordered to make a $500 donation to a woman's domestic violence shelter. Also, fucking nothing. Wow.
$500?
He's fucking O.J. Simpson.
He had that in
Take
his pocket. Like, he literally just was like, how much? Hold on, yeah.
Probably in the console of his fucking Bronco. And in an interview with ESPN, Simpson downplayed the entire incident, stating, we had a fight. We were both guilty. No one was hurt. It was no big deal. We got on with our life.
Yeah, no one was hurt. I mean, look at her. She was fine. That eye healed. That lip healed. That it all healed. No one was hurt.
No big deal. But despite their attempt to, quote, get on with their life, Nicole filed for divorce in 1992, and it was finalized that October, granting her over $430,000, in addition to $10,000 per month in child support. Now, that's some well-taken care of kids.
I know, right? You can get $10,000 a month for your kids, but you only got $500 for a domestic. That's a lot of money, too.
In 92, in that amazing economy.
And she got a Ferrari.
God
almighty.
And she
got to keep a Ferrari.
Jesus. But
she had a nice yellow Ferrari and she got to get like a $500,000 payout.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If that had only been the end of OJ and Nicole's story, Andy, then we most likely wouldn't be talking about it today, though.
Nah, probably not.
Probably not. Because that brings us to that dreadful day. Early on in the morning of June 13th, 1994, Simpson's now ex-wife Nicole and her friend Ron Goldman are found stabbed to death outside of her condominium in Los Angeles. It's in the Brentwood area, Brentwood suburb. Authorities determined that they had been murdered the previous night, and it didn't take long for the police to want to bring in OJ because they had a lot of evidence.
Oh, yeah. They had
a lot of evidence. Not to mention the timing.
Right. Yeah. There's not a lot to. This is the part of the episodes in the case where things just start to get like full, like just they're going like 100 miles an hour and mm-hmm. everything is just getting like crammed in as fast as possible. Because right now everything is about to become like chaos for a little bit. And then there's that trial.
Exactly.
So it's like, we gotta get through some chaos for a little bit.
I love a little chaos.
Yeah, right? Makes the world go around.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about what they found at this crime scene, okay? Some very damning things, some might say. Number one, blood drops. Okay, so blood drops were found on a gate at the murder scene and near bloody shoe prints at the crime scene. The drops, according to the law enforcement, contained O.J. Simpson's genetic markers. And when Simpson was interviewed by police, he was photographed with a cut on his finger.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, matching gloves. An extra large Aries leather glove was found at the murder scene near the bodies. Another glove that appeared to be its mate was found on Simpson's estate. The gloves were covered in blood. The blood, again, according to law enforcement, had Simpson's genetic markers, as well as markers of Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. Number three, crime scene hairs and fibers. Those damn hairs and fibers, they'll get you every time, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Hairs, described as similar to OJ's, were found in a knit cap at the crime scene. Strands of hair recovered from Ron Goldman's shirt were microscopically identical to Simpson's hair. That is what prosecutors said at trial, okay? Number four, we found some bloody shoe prints. Bloody shoe prints were found at the crime scene. They matched a size 12 Bruno Magli shoe. Magli?
Bruno, yeah, I think it's Bruno Magli.
Magli? I'm unfamiliar with these high-end artist shoes. The shoe is a unique Italian-made model. Simpson said he didn't own a pair, but a photo of him wearing Bruno Magli shoes was later discovered and entered into evidence. And Simpson happens to wear a size 12.
I would have thought bigger.
I mean, he's agile. He's quick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Running backs aren't the tallest guys.
No, but still. Yeah. I was just expecting. He seems like a bigger guy. OJ's still not a small guy.
No. And one of the most important things, bloody socks. A pair of socks that had blood on them were found in Simpson's bedroom. The blood had Simpson's genetic markers and Nicole's.
Now, we cannot forget that there is, like, not only is there blood found in these areas, the crime scene itself is just a bloodbath.
Absolutely.
Like the front of they're found right in front of the home, but it's like just off the road. So you can't see it until a neighbor is literally alerted by her dog coming up to him, like with blood all over it and like leading them back to the house. So like there's blood everywhere. Nicole's head is almost decapitated. So they're dealing with the fact that like, we got to try and look through a complete just paint job of blood to see if we can find any other traces of somebody else.
Right.
And like, you know, this is a place where OJ has been many, many times. Like she continued to see OJ off and on after their divorce, like, you know, as trying to be platonic, trying to be co-parents, but also kind of going back and forth. And, you know, it's one of those things that happens in an abusive relationship of kind of the cycle of going back. So like OJ's DNA was already going to be at this house. So now trying to search through, like I said, just a paint job of blood.
Exactly.
To find like any other markers of blood. But then the fact that going back to OJ's place and finding more blood, that's when you're like, okay.
Finding a matching glove.
Well, yeah.
Finding bloody socks with Nicole's blood on it back at his place.
I mean, not to jump ahead too much with spoilers. That glove does come back up later on.
Oh,
with
does
the,
it?
Well, not just with the if it fits,
yeah.
But just the whole idea of like, oh, well, this one cop says he found this glove at OJ's house, but then they try to prove him as a liar, and they said this actually wasn't found there, and so there's a lot of stuff like when they start actually doing all the evidence gathering of this. Shit goes haywire immediately. People are just wandering the crime scene. There's footprints here. There's samples here. There's smudges here. Like, yeah, it's the crime scene is not taken care of at all. So
right.
Like, that's one of the reasons the trial is so easily kind of thrown into a mess is because the defense can go, how did you guys even investigate this? Like you guys all just walked in there basically on your hands and knees, just digging around through a crime scene.
Right.
So how did you guys actually, are you sure? Look at your methods. You're fucking amateurs. Like, look at this.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, a lot of this stuff does come back into play, like that bloody glove and everything, but this was a crime scene that, like, even the police did not know where to begin. This was two people who were brutally murdered in front of their house, not even in the home.
Right.
So, yeah, this was like not something.
They came out to confront him and he killed them.
Or, well, they were already.
Or they were getting out of the car, right?
They were
he
already.
Surprised them.
Well, Ron was basically coming to the house to drop off some glasses that Nicole's mom had left at a restaurant. So Ron was actually coming to the house literally just to drop off glasses. And OJ, the theory is that somebody, you know, happened upon the same time when Ron was coming to the house to drop off the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
The perpetrator also was arriving at the home and saw the two of them conversing in front of the home and thought, you know, the worst.
Right.
Or something. You know, can't say directly, but yeah, fucking, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyways, with all this evidence, naturally, the cops want to get their hands on OJ.
Yeah, they put a fucking
arrest. But
they
got to catch him first.
Well, they fucking put an arrest warrant out for him.
Yeah,
like,
they
surprisingly,
did.
They're just like, the arrest warrant is issued for OJ Simpson. Like,
yeah.
That is headline news.
Well, good luck, because he's out riding a Bronco.
Fucking woo! About to break it.
He's riding in a white Ford Bronco, driven by Al Cowlings. Simpson is in the back seat, and this chase takes place on June 17th. 1994. The infamous Bronco chase caused one television station to rearrange coverage of an NBA Finals game featuring the chase on the main screen, and the game is just like an inset.
Yeah, it's just like picture in picture.
That sounds about right. It's just basketball. Nearly every network was broadcasting the chase as Simpson slowly headed towards the cemetery where Nicole had been buried and then wound back to his own house. Cameras and helicopters showed Simpson holding a gun to his head while his friend Al Cowlings was driving. The chase was so slow, huge crowds gathered on overpasses and cheered when OJ drove by. Simpson finally surrendered on the evening of June 17th at his Brentwood mansion. Although he was found to be in possession of a gun, his passport, $9,000 in cash, and a disguise, he insisted that he wasn't running, Andy.
No, this is my everyday bag.
This is my everyday bag. This is just what I go out with. Yeah. People recognize me, so I need a disguise. I never carry less than $9,000 in cash. I mean, come on.
I mean, I'm the juice. I have a rotation.
And a passport. I want to go wherever I want to go. I'm the juice.
I live on a whim, you know.
Bada-boom.
I can be anywhere I need to be.
Bada-boom.
Juice has got to be everywhere.
Exactly.
And don't forget, the whole time, he's talking to police. I know this is like the early 90s, but he's got a cell phone in the car and police are talking to him the whole time. And he's saying a lot of incriminating stuff on that phone call.
Yes, he
is. He's saying things like, I'm the one who should be punished. I'm the one who should have gotten hurt.
Mm.
You know, I'm the one who shouldn't be forgiven. Like, and he's basically almost confessing a lot of things on this phone call with the police.
Right.
But none of that stuff is then, I believe, none of that is used in court. Like, it's not admissible in court.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah, the whole time, they're not just, like, following him, like, unsure of what he's doing. They have him on the phone the whole time. So, like, the police, you can listen to the recordings of the police officers talking him down and trying to calm him down and trying to get him just to, you know, chill out and, you know, just like, come on, OJ, everyone loves you and you're not crazy. And it's a tense, you know, situation that the whole time. It's not just, you know, the cops are just calmly following.
Yeah,
it's a negotiation the whole way.
Yeah, the trial would have went a lot different, I think, if they were able to get him and put him directly into court. But by the time his trial came about, Simpson pleaded, quote, absolutely, positively, 100% not guilty, end quote.
I'm not guilty. I'm OJ.
That's right. And they believed him. So the end. And yeah.
Everyone believed him?
Yeah.
Great.
Everyone believed him. That was just for now.
Man, that trial was quick, right?
Oh, no. If only, Andy. If only. But that is going to be part two. That's going to be next week, my friend. The trial, the books, the talk show appearances, the confessions, the legacy, all that jazz will be next week.
His actual convicted crimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
When he goes to prison for robbery. What the fuck, OJ? You stole your shit? What? How do we do this? How do we get here, OJ?
Yeah, I remember that. When he got released in Vegas, I was actually living in Vegas at the time, I think, when OJ got released.
I remember that.
He's just out painting the town, man.
God, you know there was just some guy at the jail and he just showed up like, how'd we get here, OJ?
Bro.
How did we, come on.
How did you, you're back.
You stole your own shit?
What, you stole,
Your own shit, really? You stole your own? Yeah, get in there.
I didn't even know that was even possible.
I didn't know you could do that. You know what? You look at you, OJ.
Only you. Always breaking records. Always breaking records,
always
OJ.
Always setting standards.
Most stuff stolen that you already own.
Longest prison sentence forever stealing your own stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that a lot more before next week because we are going to go into all of that good stuff. But for right now, I got some other good stuff for you. It's called Oh My Gaia.
Oh, that is some good stuff right
it
there.
It is some good stuff because it's an innovative all-natural deodorant, fragrance, and beard oil company specializing in paraben and aluminum-free products. Their innovative line of deodorants inhibit the growth of odor-causing bacteria while still maintaining effectiveness. Now at Oh My Gaia, they got a scent for you, I promise you. From Lumberjack, Honeysuckle, Fireside, Bergamot, Amber, Pear, Sweet Pea, Sailor, Barbershop, Vanilla, Cherry Almond, Sandalwood, Lavender, Lemongrass, Egyptian Musk, and of course we have our very own scent called True Crime Pine, and there's many more that I didn't even mention. And you guys can go check that out at ohmygaia.com. I'm sure there's something for you. That's ohmygaia.com or at @shop_ohmygaia on Instagram. Now, because you're True Crime Guys listeners, you can use the code word CREEPER for 15% off your order. That's CREEPER, C-R-E-E-P-E-R, for 15% off. OhMyGaia.com, guys. OhMyGaia.com.
You know what? That's 15% that you will definitely enjoy.
You will.
That 15% off goes a long way with Oh My Gaia, baby. And it will last a long time.
That's right. That's right. And while you're looking up Oh My Gaia, don't forget to go on to patreon.com/truecrimeguys. Check out everything we have to offer there. There are so many audio files, hundreds of audio files there for your listening pleasure, exclusive Patreon content. On the $2 tier, you get access to every Patreon exclusive that we have ever done here on True Crime Guys. And we've done one a month for a long time now, Andy.
Yeah.
I think we're in the 70s. I think we're coming up on episode 80 on premium episodes.
Ooh, nice. Getting close to triple digits.
We're getting there. We're getting there. They go by kind of slow, but, you know, it's monthly. It is what it is. But, guys, there's so much on there. Me and Andy recorded a special Higher Thoughts for 420. Probably the longest Higher Thoughts we've ever done.
I don't remember.
Well, over an hour. I don't remember any of it. But feel free to check that out, guys. That is on Patreon under the Higher Thoughts collection, along with 50 other Higher Thoughts episodes. There's quite a few on there.
I did not realize.
Yes.
Wow, we have forgotten a lot.
There's a lot of thoughts on there, buddy. But yeah, guys, check that out. Patreon.com/truecrimeguys. We appreciate it very much. If you want to support the show, that is the best way. Thank you so much. Also, check out new episodes of Strange and Unexplained on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out our Spotify albums, our musical albums. If you enjoy the intros that we do for these episodes, please check us out as an artist. We have a couple albums out on Spotify as well as a few of our favorite singles. All right. Anything else, Andy? Social media at True Crime Guys.
Yeah, like I said, check out our YouTube channel. Check out them Strange and Unexplained videos. Check out those shorts. Yeah, you can see another one of those coming up real soon, guys. We just recorded another one of those just a little bit ago. Should be seen on the YouTube channel really soon.
That's right. It's a video version of a case that we've actually covered on Strange and Unexplained before, but we have never done the video version, and we've never done it on YouTube, so we redid it.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope you guys will enjoy that, and I guess you just keep on creeping until next week, and we'll see you with another regular TCG case.
All right.
All right, guys. Keep on creeping.
Bye.